Hey, this is Barbara Corcoran. You are now tuned in to Business Unusual. And everything you ever learned about business, throw it out the window. I'm going to tell you the real deal. Listen in. Today, I'm sitting down with Mike and Brian Special. I've been waiting for this for the longest time. They've been too busy to stop by. And you know them as the Comfy Brothers. I know them as my single best investment on Shark Tank. And to tease you up a little, picture this for a moment. Two guys with a simple product, no sales, against all odds and opposition, finally get to Shark Tank. Then when they get there with no real product, no prices, they reach in simply a year and a half, almost $50 million in sales. And a lot of it had to do with simple advice from the mother. Listen in. Well, we're in for a special treat today. We have two brothers here that are the biggest sensation that has ever hit Shark Tank. Brothers, Mike and Brian Special. And yeah. I think they have the right last name because they are special. I have never seen anyone on Shark Tank come into Shark Tank with less potential as a warm-up. Whoa. Just holding in your hand two little prototypes, no sales, no actual price as to what it was going to cost to make the damn thing. No idea what you're going to sell them for. And you just bullshitted your way right through the Shark Tank pitch. And everybody on the show thought you were charming, no doubt, but totally nuts as business people. But I fell for your charm, and that explains why I've picked all the wrong boyfriends my whole life. But for once, I picked some good boyfriends and invested in your business. Wow, was that a lucky day. I never saw what was coming. So why don't you start, guys, by telling me the story? How did you come up with the idea?
Wow.
Yeah.
The craziest thing about the idea, Barb, is it was less than 2 years ago. So
that is crazy.
The fact that this is all happening, we're sitting here with you on Business Unusual, is it's beyond a dream come true. We can't believe this has all happened. But it started 2 years ago in my house with my brother, who was going through a tough time, and he'll pick up the story from there. He was staying with me.
Yeah. So I was staying with my brother. The reason I was staying with him, because I was going through a tough time, going through a divorce.
Not easy for anybody.
It was tough. My big bro took me in. One morning, I get up, and I walk in the living room, and his seven-year-old son, Saxon, was sitting on the couch in one of his old hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was he just sitting there, but he had his knees pulled in like we do at times.
Little huddle.
Right. He had his arms pulled in.
It swallowed him up. It was huge.
He had the hood up. And so he was all just tucked in there and he's in there playing one of his video games. And I could just see his eyes peeking out. We locked eyes and looked at him and said, "Wow, Saxon, you just look so warm and comfy." He's like, "Yeah, I am." I look over at my bro and I'm just like, "Bro, you think there's any way they make these for adults?" He's like, "Make what?" I'm like, "Just big, oversized, like, sweatshirts."
Were you jealous of the comfortable look he had?
It looked incredible. And I'm like, I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, it was that aha moment. Then there was, we had one of those.
But was it an aha moment for you? Were you thinking, what is he, smoking dope over there?
No, it kind of was, because he has this idea, and then the wheels start grinding right then. And there's a one of those soft Sherpa-lined blankets sitting on the couch right behind Saxon.
Wow.
And I said, well, what if we made it out of that? And
wow.
We just kind of took it from there. We're like, no, surely someone has thought of this already. There's no way that anyone hasn't thought of this, as all great ideas typically start, right?
Yes, of course.
And we researched it and kept saying, bro, what are we missing here?
Right? We kept asking, like, are we missing something here?
Yeah.
Like, we don't think we are. And we just felt like this is over the course of a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We even ordered a super 5XL sweatshirt off of Amazon.
Yeah, just a regular sweatshirt.
Just to get it and to try it and be like, yeah, this could work if we make it out of the blanket material. We weren't exactly sure why it would work. It just made so much sense. And we're like, we'll make it one size fits all. You don't have to worry about sizing. We'll make it in just a couple of colors. It could be for everyone in the world.
To you at that moment in time, mm-hmm. were you feeling it in every bone in your body, this is a hit, if we could do this, this is great? Or were you thinking, hey, give it a shot, let's see what happens?
After we figured out that no one had done it before, we're like, oh my gosh, first of all, we need to get on Shark Tank. Well, first of all, we might want to get it made first. So we found a prototype maker.
I'm shocked you even bothered to get the damn thing
made.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an investment. Michael had a pool cleaning business at the time. I was a TV producer with my own production company. So we're entrepreneurs at heart, but it was still a big investment to go out there and say, hey, we're going to spend all this money to get this prototype made. And then we went to get the prototype made and the guy's like, what do you want to do? Oh, okay. And so we had the prototype made and it was on the second one and several thousand dollars later that it was pretty much nailed.
It was, yeah. The first prototype was okay, but it, we knew it wasn't to our specifications, and we went back, we refined it, and he came back with that second prototype, and we knew we had it right then.
And you spent how much money on the prototype?
It ended up being, for the two prototypes, I'd say about $10,000.
That's a lot of money. It's real money. You know?
Yeah, but
it was
why so much for a prototype? I think I could have put that together for about $200 if I bought the fabric.
I think it's simple, but once you get into the garment making and textile business, I mean, every measurement is so important for the flow
the
of
fabric,
the entire, for just the flow of the entire garment.
Mm-hmm. So you were editing the little pieces of it as you went, making the front pocket a little bit bigger, the arms longer, that kind of thing. And that's why it cost so much money.
Down to the millimeter.
We were going to Joann's to find fabric and buying blankets off of Amazon to give them materials to the prototype maker in order to make these things. So it was
two bros in Joann's. It was hilarious, just laughing about
like learning about nap and softness and
Sherpa,
fish out of water for sure.
You probably didn't know what Sherpa was at the time. Right?
I did not, but I know it now. And there are so many different kinds of Sherpa,
different weights,
and
different
at the
feels.
Beginning, we knew we wanted high quality no matter what, and we knew it was
without
a product for
even
everyone.
Knowing the price.
We didn't even know the price yet or anything, but we know we wanted high quality. We knew it was a product for everyone, but we wanted to make it affordable for everyone. Mm-hmm. Affordable quality was always
and still is
at the forefront.
And still is.
Still absolutely is,
Was there any doubt in your mind when you were making the prototypes, like, hey, listen, are we just believing our own stuff here? Should we really be spending this money? Are we daydreaming? Should we go back to our day jobs?
Well, we never left the day jobs.
No, we don't.
We had to still make money at that time, obviously. I don't think there was a doubt after we saw that the finished prototype. When we saw that, we're like, that is it. This thing's going to sell. There's just no doubt in our mind. And at that time—
How could you be so sure, though?
I don't know. How do you know something's going to be a huge hit? I mean, who knows? But at that time, even when we were trying to get on Shark Tank, when we were just starting the process of like, okay, there's an audition coming up.
This is all going on about the same time.
We were saying to each other, we're like, dude, this could be one of the biggest hits in the history of the show. Maybe everyone says that, right? Maybe everyone says that about—
No, I don't think everyone
does
like say that.
But man, there was just something about this product that we knew was going to make people happy and comfortable and warm. And it's not a novelty. It's not something that is here today and gone tomorrow. This is something that— We always say you have the ha-ha moment. You take it out, you put it on, ha-ha, that's funny. And then you have the aha moment where it's like, whoa, how did I ever live without this?
Really?
That's what we think is what the company is all about.
It's funny you say that about Shark Tank and saying how we thought it could be the best product in history and the highest selling. We thought that from the beginning, but I think this is the first time we've actually said it out loud.
Yeah, I think it is too.
You know,
because
it's not as crazy anymore.
Now suddenly we're like in the top 10 on the USA Today list already, you know, a year and a half into business. So now we can say it out loud and it's actually, wow. This
you
is
can
happening.
Shout it. You kidding me?
It's kind of gives me the chills.
And
right
then
here.
Share with
it's
us
crazy.
How successful the business is in the two short years. The first year, what were your sales? Second year, it closed with what kind of sales and what are you geared for right now?
We managed to do $20 million our first year.
That's unbelievable.
In revenue. In sales.
Design it, produce it, deliver it, and get $20 million. Sure. How was that humanly possible?
I don't know.
We launched on Shark Tank just about a year and a half ago, incredibly enough.
Yeah. And how the heck did you get on Shark Tank? I know all the emphasis on Shark Tank is what are your sales? What's your traction?
Right.
You were probably the only business I saw in the last two seasons that actually could stand there and say you had no sales. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, what the hell are they doing here? How did you get past the vetting process?
You know, we were kind of proud of that because a lot of people would say to us, that's Shark Tank getting back almost to its roots. The entrepreneurs who haven't done anything, haven't sold anything, but they've got this great idea and this might turn into something. So we were proud of that. But the producers don't care if you're proud of that or not.
No, not at all. They usually throw you right out if you don't have the volume. Yeah,
what are your sales and blah, blah, blah.
How did you answer that? How did you get over that obstacle?
We went to an audition in Denver in May of that year. We were on the show 6 months there.
Why not LA, where you were living? The Shark Tank's right in LA.
No, we live in Arizona.
Oh, you were there then. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were in LA initially, no?
No.
Okay.
No, that's another part of this story. Mm-hmm. A couple of brothers from the desert inventing a giant blanket sweatshirt.
Yes.
It makes no sense.
No sense at all.
It makes no sense.
It's so hot.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But getting on the show, we went and auditioned in Denver, and we knew we had to have a hook.
And just so everybody knows real quick, when you go up to one of these auditions, I mean, you're standing in line for hours upon hours. Okay.
Outside in the heat.
Outside in the heat or the cold, whatever it is at that time. And there's 40,000 companies that try out for Shark Tank every year. So your chances are so minimal. We knew we had to wow.
You had to stand
out. And
Brian
being in TV, he knew it. So
yeah, that's where my TV, I guess my TV production background kind of helped because I think I know what producers are looking for and how you can stand out. And
how confident were you standing that line, competing with all the other people, that you would wow them, walk in and wow with them?
We knew if we had the actual guts to do what we were going to do.
Yes.
With the product that we had and with hopefully our personalities, that we had a pretty good chance, even though we had no sales. We knew we had to stand out. So what was the hook going to be?
In front of a junior producer.
Right.
1 minute.
And so how do we do this? The product's awesome, but that it doesn't just sell it. And we also said from the beginning we wanted to be on the Christmas episode. We said that. Mm-hmm. It's a Christmas product. We want to be on the Christmas episode. We're lifelong Shark Tank fans. We knew they had a Christmas episode. We want to be on that. We'll take anything, of course. I remember sitting there one night, and I was going through what we could do, and I was like, oh, my gosh. We should sing a song.
I never forget.
How did that come to
you? Never forget the phone call.
And I sat there, and I wrote the lyrics out to the song in about 2 or 3 minutes. And I called my brother, because I'm like, oh, my God, are we actually going to do this? I'm like, bro. I think we have to sing. I think we've got to sing.
You remember my response?
Your response was, let's do it.
Let's go.
So we instantly started practicing our amazing jingle with our amazing singing voices.
I don't remember those voices as being so amazing.
But we knew that was going to be our hook, right? And so when we went up there, it's a nerve-wracking experience when you're standing in line. And then when you finally get in front of these producers, there's about 5 or 6 tables around with different producers and different entrepreneurs pitching at the same time. And we're standing in line going, oh my God, this is going to be so loud.
Oh yeah,
we're
bring this we don't
house.
Hold back.
No, yeah, we're going to bring this house on. This is our moment. Right. This is it. This is it. And so we got up there and the producer was just kind of sitting there. You know, it was toward the end of the day. She's sitting there. She looked bored. She's like, yeah, okay, it's the blanket sweat. Okay,
it's like a movie
cool.
scene, isn't it?
And then I'm like, just brace yourself. This is going to be a little different than anything you're used to. She's like, yeah, okay, well. And we blasted into that song. We're like, this is our moment.
Right.
We blasted into it, have never sang before anybody in our entire lives.
Were you wearing your prototypes for that audition?
We had it out, but we weren't wearing it. And she instantly.
Oh, no, I put it on. Yeah, I put it on later during the song, remember?
She instantly, her eyes got big. She reached, scrambled for her phone, pulls the phone out, starts recording us.
Wow.
Big smiles. So we, right then, I mean, we were belting this thing out. We knew we had a pretty good chance at that moment. But so much that you have to get through to get actually onto the show. That was just the beginning. We got the call back the next day. But then the process begins for the next, 6 months before you actually get on the show. And that was a battle every step of the way.
And was there any questioning on that initial audition date? What are your sales? What's this going to cost to produce? What are you selling for? Who's going to buy it? All the basic questions that Shark Tank asked. Did she question you on any of that?
She didn't, because I think that we didn't really give her a chance to, thank goodness.
You just blasted
because we knew we were going to overpower her with the song and with the presentation. They never even asked those questions.
They didn't.
We knew they were coming later.
They did, absolutely.
How did you handle that when they came
later?
They
always told us that it's too early.
Come
back next year. This happened up to the week before we were going to go to Hollywood, where we got a call from our producer saying, guys, they'd kind of gone dark on us for a while. Guys, it's just not going to happen. They think you're too early. They love you guys, and they want you to come back next year. And we're sitting there going, well, it's TV. You never know if a show's going to come back for another year. This is our opportunity, and if they're going to cut us, we're going to go down swinging. We had a pity party for about...
Oh, I'd say 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
We've had a few pity parties during this whole process, but they last about 30 seconds, and we say, forget that. Pick yourself up. Go right back at them.
And that's what we did.
Go down fighting.
So what we did, after she told us that, within that hour, I had my video camera out, and we came up with this new skit called The Top 5 Reasons Why You Cannot Cut the Comfy...
Phenomenal.
From Shark Tank.
How did I never know this
story? We put this together.
Story.
We put this video together. It's out there. Sent it to our producer. The next day, we got the call. She's like, I put this in front of Clay, the executive producer. They just love you guys. Be in Hollywood next week.
Right.
Wow.
And they said that's absolutely the reason why we got back on, was because of that video.
Yeah. The story doesn't end there.
Before you end the story, or get toward the ending, which I think is going to take us about 9 or 12 hours, I think, because you guys can sure talk.
Oh, boy.
I should be paying you for the privilege. But would you mind singing the jingle?
We have done this.
It's been a long time.
Right.
No, we haven't done it.
We haven't practiced it or anything.
You sucked at it back then.
Whoa!
Got you
want to go the full jingle? We can do the full. We can do the whole thing.
I believe we have gotten worse.
Okay, I believe that.
This will be easy for me because I don't have to put it on during this. So.
I don't know if I can do it without you putting it on.
Oh, come on. Okay. Just do it.
Okay.
I'll let you go and then I'll
give you a beat.
We got to blast it out too, right?
Yeah, blast out. 1, 2, 3, go.
Tis the season of the comfy. Fa la 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 la. It's the blanket that's a sweatshirt. Fa la 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 la. Stay warm and cozy. It's the comfy, the perfect gift for anyone on your list. Get one now before they're all gone. Fa la 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 la. It's comfy time.
Fabulous. Woo! Come on. The whole studio, come on. Clap, clap, clap with these guys. Clap, clap, clap with these guys. May I tell you, you sound a lot better.
Oh,
I remember you didn't hit any of those notes.
No,
well.
We were
a little nervous.
Yeah. We were a little nervous.
Well, it's easy. Now you have a few $1 million on your belt. It feels a little bit better, right?
Well, it's
get
not
back
bad.
To the money for a minute for me. So the first year you sold how much and then what happened after that?
$20 million the first year. And then we're projected to do well over $50 million this year.
Were you frightened when you got those deluge orders? And how the hell did you think you could possibly produce them? Where did you go to produce them? You must have felt like the shit hit the fan. What do I do now?
Well, fortunately, we had some help from Miss Barbara Corcoran. We were partnered with you at the time when we were just starting to get this thing actually out there before Shark Tank aired.
And how much money did I invest? I forget, actually.
$50,000.
Without
how
a doubt.
$50,000.
For 30% of the business.
For 30%.
Yeah. Without a doubt, that's the best bargain in Shark Tank history. I can say that right now. It is.
Well, no. Let me argue that for a minute.
Oh, okay.
$50,000 now looks like the best bargain.
Yes.
In hindsight.
In hindsight.
But you were two guys there with all the sharks able to open their fat wallets. Nobody did because you had no sales, no traction, you hadn't proved your concept.
It's
so
true.
Basically, you had a business worth nothing.
Absolutely right. You took a chance on us.
Now, I'm looking like a genius.
Yes, you are.
They said I was a fool. When you left the set, Mark said to me, what were you thinking?
But there's a lesson there, isn't there? There's a lesson for every entrepreneur out there. And that is that the sharks, with all due respect, they don't know everything.
No way.
They don't. If you believe in what you're doing, go for it. Don't let them hold you back. The only reason we're sitting here right now is because we had an idea and we got our asses off the couch and did something about it.
And you did it so fast.
And we did it fast, but anyone can do it. Yes. Anyone can do it. Go for it.
And how fast? Let's just back up a little bit. We went from idea to in front of the sharks in 6 months.
Unbelievable.
That fast.
Mm-hmm. And then
it can happen.
You were able to deliver all those goods within the next 12 months, which I think is an equally amazing feat. Mm-hmm.
We immediately sold out on Shark Tank night. We only had one container that came in. It was about 4,000
units. 4,000
units, yeah. We easily sold out and started taking orders on top of that. And then we were back ordered until May of 2018.
Well, we went after the Shark Tank bump died off a little bit at the end of December. We suddenly started getting picked up on social media with these big outlets that saw our product and they're like, well, that's fun. And they started making fun videos about it. It went crazy viral. And we suddenly sold into over 60 countries in that next month.
So that was a better break than even Shark Tank,
it was.
On the heels of Shark Tank.
I hate to say it, but it was.
Didn't do a thing for it. It was just happenstance.
It was just someone.
It was literally going viral. Yeah. You hear it all the time. How do you go viral? You don't know.
Anyone who tells you they know how to go viral is lying. Don't buy from people like that. But we did go viral. And
now in hindsight, if I said to you, yeah, you went viral, that was instrumental to the first year of sales, what would you say to someone as to the reason why? Why did that happen? Is there any logic to it, or it's just a crapshoot?
I think it's the product.
Of course.
In this case, yeah. In this case, it's the product that lends itself to good video and good TV, right? People see it, and they engage with it, and they want to share it. So there's no secret. Except for that. And there's no secret to why that's going to happen. It just happens. That's why I say marketing agencies out there will try to sell you on, we produce viral videos. No, you don't. No, you don't.
You can't force it.
You can't. You just can't. You can think this is going to be the greatest thing ever, and it doesn't get any engagement. Who knows what it is?
What happened in year two?
In year two, which we are in the middle of right now.
Right.
And
halfway through.
But yeah. We're halfway through. It's only year two.
Yeah.
Feels like we've been doing this for 10 years. It's incredible.
It does.
Feels like 10 years to me.
It does.
So you had $20 million in the first year, and so far this year, you don't have to disclose exactly what your sales are. I happen to know what they are. But what is projected reasonably for the end of the year, which I know you're on track for, clearly?
Minimum $50
million. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
In sales by the end of the year.
We honestly feel like we are just getting started.
We do.
We feel like maybe 5 to 10% of the country has ever even heard about the Comfy.
Mm-hmm.
We're just getting started. So where we can take this...
Let's take a short break to talk about a company I love, my friends at OnDeck Business Loans. If you're determined to build a business, you're going to find along the way you're going to need some financing to help you get there. I remember when I was building my business, I couldn't get a loan from anyone when I needed the cash. If I went to a local bank, they didn't want to lend to me. I was just a little small fry. But if you're building your business, you know what you need the money for. And I say to you, go to my friends at OnDeck Business Loans by going to ondeck.com/Barbara. Let me tell you why. They give small business loans up to $500,000. And the best part is they make decisions in minutes. Funding is as fast as one day. OnDeck values cash flow. They know it's an important part of building a business. It's not just about your credit score like the big guys do. OnDeck has amazing customer service. They have over 1,600 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. Don't forget to visit my friends at OnDeck.com/Barbara. OnDeck Business Loans. Tell them Barbara sent you. Now let's get back to the show. What keeps you awake at night? What do you worry about? You're worried it's a trend that people might get tired of it? What do you think about when you start to get into your worry mode?
I think the worry mode has kind of gone away. My worry mode ended about a year ago when I stopped doing all the customer service and answering all the emails myself. We take it very, very personally, and we don't want to disappoint anybody. And there were times when we haven't been able to
deliver
on time as you're scaling so fast and growing so fast. Anything that affected our customer are the things that kept us.
And it was never about the product that upset the customer. The reviews and everything on the product were incredible, but it was not being able to deliver on a timely manner.
So you felt, as individuals, you felt ashamed or like
without God, a doubt.
How did I let them down?
Yeah. Very personal. These people are putting their confidence in you, and you can't deliver.
They gave us
their
money.
No excuse for it.
And you were holding their money until the production came through. People didn't mind that. They stayed with you on that, huh?
They did.
Why is that? Because you were in touch with them? You had a certain touch with people? Or they just had to have the product and were willing to wait?
I think they had to have the product.
Yeah.
They did. They wanted to get in line. And they knew if they ordered it, you know, months in advance, that they would be the first ones to get the next order. Mm-hmm. For sure.
One of the most shocking things that happened to me shortly after the show and I made my investment, I'm skiing out in Utah. I'm coming down the mountain. I thought I was seeing things. I saw five kids in different colored comfies down the mountain with ski boots on. Like, oh, my God.
Amazing.
I think that's what it hit me. I thought, my God, I never thought of it as a ski outfit.
Yeah.
I thought of it as on your living room couch. That's about it. And it made me really wonder how many different directions you can go with it.
So many
We thought
directions.
We knew all the directions you can go with it until tomorrow when we get another picture from another customer showing a new use for it.
And then you'll get that idea.
It is endless. Can use it everywhere.
How did you make the decision to get out of customer service? Was it to protect your tender heart from feeling disappointment? Because most people have a very hard time delegating early up.
It got so big and so out of control that there were times when I would answer every email personally. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where there were hundreds of them, sometimes a day.
Oh, yeah.
And I would get home with my son and he'd be like, Dad, how long on the computer now before we can go play catch or do this? That kind of stuff hits you. It's like, wow, this is consume my life. It's basically 24/7. We had just scaled so fast that suddenly it just didn't make sense for me to do everything myself anymore.
That and his little brother forcing him out, saying enough.
Yeah, you said it for months.
It's not good for him, and we need to not move on from it because you can still oversee all of it and the way that customers are being answered, you know, in the proper way.
Yeah, you learn,
but you need help.
You learn a lot about customer service.
But he took
service.
It personally. Every email he took personally.
As personally as I took it, I took equal pride in occasionally when people realize they're talking to a person, you can flip them just by doing the right thing and being nice and putting yourself in their shoes. Absolutely. And I actually never found anybody I couldn't flip. People can be real jerks
on
social media, I'm telling you.
I mean, the things that they came at you with, but, you know, they're hiding behind the computer.
Yes.
And, you know, and a lot of times they were right with what they were saying, but they were saying it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And he took pride in it. He would turn them and flip them where they would have a nice conversation after that.
So if you had that kind of involvement in that, Brian, that you wanted to answer each inquiry, each complaint yourself, how do you make the decision to outsource it and actually hand over the baby to somebody else and think that is going to be well handled?
I think as entrepreneurs, you can stand in the way by not getting out of the way sometimes and allowing your business to grow. If it's too much of an ego thing and you want to do everything yourself and you don't turn the business over to people who are capable of doing it, that can really stunt your growth. I think that happens a lot.
It happens all the time. I mean, exactly, get in your own way. You put it perfectly. What was your decision as to who to hire and why? Did you go out with a set of ideals, like we need to find someone like this or a team like this, or we'll outsource it or we'll hire in? What happened there? How did you make that decision?
Well, we were fortunate enough to find someone in LA, the Frogman Media Group. They had contacted us when we were smaller, and then I happened to find them when we got bigger, and that's when the marriage kind of happened. And we're happy because they speak in our voice. We wanted someone who would speak in our voice and always do right by the customer. So when you feel comfortable that things are being done the way that you would do them, turn it over.
And that freed you to do what? Once you had found that time, which was considerable from what you said, 100 emails a day, what did you do with that extra time?
We spent a lot of time on developing the product, making sure that the quality was where it needed to be. There was a lot of that. Trips to New York, mm-hmm. lots of
marketing
stuff.
We're doing everything ourselves, absolutely.
Did you go to Asia at one point for production?
Yeah, I went over to China, visited the different factories that we were getting set up at the time.
Seems like such a scary proposition. I couldn't imagine putting myself on a plane, going to China and hunting for a factory.
Keep in mind, you did set us up with an incredible CEO, Melinda.
I set you up. I didn't set myself up.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So but she was holding your hand and she had that expertise.
She did. And then along with her and Franca, who speaks Chinese as well, and going over there and negotiating deals and getting our prices and our costs down on anywhere from the fabric to the manufacturing side of it is so important, obviously, for the margins and everything else. But a lot of learning.
Mike, are there any times in the week where you just stop with the both of you together? So I'm like, could you believe this?
Every other minute?
Every other minute. Yeah.
Is this really happening? Right. That's what you'd always say to me. Like, is this happening? It still happens to this day.
Yeah. Who's the smarter between the two of you?
Man, that's a...
Should we ask mom?
Yeah, right?
Is your mother available? I'll give her a call.
That's the most loaded question that there possibly could be.
What she would say, too. She would say, well, you're my smartest 46-year-old.
Yes.
And I'm your smartest 44-year-old.
She does.
Oh,
she handles everything.
She's a salesman, too.
Every birthday card, you're my favorite 46-year-old. Right. You're my favorite 44-year-old. You're my favorite 9-year-old in the whole world, so...
I love her already.
I don't know who's the smartest. We could not have done this without each other. I think we both would agree with that. I mean, Michael had that idea. And I never would have thought of that, even though it was my kid sitting there 2 feet away from me. Michael had the idea, but then we just kind of built on it and went from there.
Absolutely.
And to be able to do this with your brother is, to have the success with your sibling is.
And we would have gotten a Shark Tank without his experience and his TV experience.
And the jingle, of course,
it goes together.
You.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
right.
We've always been close. But I mean, to do this with your brother is just.
Well, you have trust. Assume you have trust, but you don't seem to have sibling rivalry.
We really don't.
No.
No,
not at all.
You must have fights.
Maybe on the golf
course. When we were younger. No. On the golf course. Not even on the golf course.
You beat me by 10 strokes every time, so not even that.
Well, you never argue. You never differ on a business and it affects your personal relationship.
Oh, no. We have our arguments.
Yeah. So, what? What was your last argument? How do you resolve it?
We'll argue about a different product. This is coming out before this other one, and I don't think it should, and here's why. And we'll talk it out, and then we'll let our CEO decide.
Thank God for that, right?
And that, by the way, we do have to say that.
Yes.
The turning point in this business. You know, initially we were going to be online only. All the sharks thought that was a good idea.
I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, just stay online, stay away from that retail. I think
they'll eat you alive.
That's what we kept hearing from everyone. But it was that fear that was something we didn't know. It was the great unknown. But we kept looking at each other and going, "Dude,
well, tell the story about when we came to New York for the first time.
This needs to be in Costco. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a big Costco fan. This needs to be in Costco. It's perfect. If it's lying out there on the big tables." People are going to pick it up and the magic happens and they're going to take it, right? We need to be in Costco. So that's where it started. So we called Mike Stevens, your guy, who also did an amazing podcast with you, by the way. And he hooked us up with this little dynamo who you've worked with for a long time named Melinda Finnegan.
Yeah, you get about 10 miles for every square inch of that one,
oh,
right?
Oh my gosh. And she has taken this company after seeing the product, putting it in her hands, going, oh my gosh, and then having the same almost epiphany that we did. And she has taken this and absolutely run with it. She's why we've gotten into retail. She's why we're in Costco. She's why we're in Target. She's why we're in Bed Bath & Beyond. She's why we're on QVC. You know, we've got the product, but maybe our smartest decision was knowing when to step back and say, Melinda,
and that was decision number two.
Melinda, take it.
Right.
Take it. Mm. And she's the one who guides our company.
And that was an extremely conscious decision
as well.
But you hired her as a CEO, and most entrepreneurs would not do that. She was a product salesman, hugely successful, working on a commission basis. Certainly, she could have sold the product to the retail chains as who she was, a commission salesman, doing it for many years. But why did you decide to hire her as a CEO? That's a big step beyond just having a superstar salesman.
Because we knew we had to get out of the way for the company to grow. We had to. We could fake our way through it, but we don't know all the things that she knows. We don't have the relationships she has, and we don't have the experience that she has.
How were you able to trust her? Because that's taking a big step of just entrusting your whole family to Melinda.
Well, she's an excellent salesperson.
She sold us very well.
Yes. She sold us very well, but then the results started happening almost right away. Before she was a CEO, you know, she was proving herself to us, and she suddenly got us into Bed Bath & Beyond, right? And suddenly we're on QVC, and everything that she said was going to happen is happening. And so that's when we decided that it was time to really step back.
But it was, it wasn't just about the sales either. It was that trip to China that I was talking about. It was getting the cost down. So it was not, she was making the sales, but she was also driving the cost down at the same time.
Fights for every
increasing our
penny.
Margins. Yep. Every single penny she fights for.
Well, just for the sake of people listening to the podcast, we are, I have to be upfront on this, we are using a fictitious name for Melinda because we don't want anyone hiring her. So, we're just saying Melinda.
She's
Melinda,
not going
Melinda,
anywhere.
Melinda,
tell
Melinda.
You. No, she's not
she's
going
comfy
anywhere.
For life.
Yeah. You know, I met Melinda probably the first season on Shark Tank with the first product I bought into, which was a medicine dispenser owned by a young woman named Tiffany. She's 22. She had no sales, exactly the same pitch. I'm sure it will sell. I'm sure it will sell. Well, ultimately, it didn't sell very well. But I met Melinda, and that was the best thing in that deal. Because she came knocking on my door and she said, I can take this. I can take it to the pharmacies. Give me a chance. Give me a chance. And then I could never get rid of her with every product I ever sold. She was always coming at me. Oh, God, it's Melinda again. But what she had was that wonderful characteristic of persistence, whether she was right or wrong, whether she could sell something.
It's like no motivates her. It does.
Yeah, if you say no to her, forget it.
Yeah, tell the listeners what we did today to poor Melinda when we were doing a business meeting. We're just going over our plans for the next year. Melinda made some big claim that she was going to do. I forget what the claim was. She's always making claims, but then she comes through. But what did we do together? We shouted at her, you can't do it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I had to give you the lines. You were there. You remember that? That was 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. The end of the meeting kind of overtook everything else. I don't even remember anything else. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
High-level stuff, which is what we always wanted to be a part of, just the high-level stuff.
Yes.
For sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Are you afraid of what the future holds? What keeps you awake at night?
Well, it used to be the knockoffs. Getting knocked off was a huge thing.
You sure you still have knockoffs?
You know? Oh, there's plenty of knockoffs out there already, and that's any entrepreneur's, I think, biggest fear. You know, you're scared to get it going because the only way to get a product going is to put it out there and trust people. You know, when you're going to China, you're going to the manufacturers, it takes a lot of trust, but you can't let that stop you. You have to go for it no matter what. And the knockoffs will come. And when they did come hot and heavy early on, three months after Shark Tank.
A cheaper version of the original company.
Cheaper version and
cheaper price.
It was everywhere. Oh, it was
advertised
it was hard.
On TV and in the stores.
And I remember what you said to us. You're like, you know what? Take it as a compliment and put your head down and keep going.
Mm-hmm. And I also went beyond take it as a compliment because I happened to know one of the biggest producers of the knockoffs who was a personal friend. And it was a shock for me to realize he was a knockoff guy on TV. Mm-hmm. And when I went to interfere in the deal and ask him, hey, you're knocking us off. What are you doing that for? He wasn't going to budge. And he made what many entrepreneurs would have seen as a viable offer. He said, let them sell their stuff. I'll keep knocking them off. They sure as hell don't have a patent. He had a big law firm behind him. And he said, I'll give them a percentage of everything I sell and they could have two streams of income. He wanted you to go away. Just do your little thing, and I'll do my big thing. And he projected something like $20 million in sales in a year. He thought he'd give you 10%, 50%. Now I can't remember the number. And I came to you and say, calm down, boys. Just look at the reality here. What do you want to do? I was shocked when you didn't give it a second's thought.
That's exactly
and I
right.
have to say I didn't agree with you at the time. I thought, whoa, you're going to have your cake and eat it too. Don't get hot under your collar. You're so hot under your collar, I was afraid to touch you.
Right.
You're like, that son of a...
Beyond personal.
Yeah. Beyond personal. Mm-hmm. It was like he personally attacked you in your gut. I saw, he's a businessman. This is what he does for a living. Does it all the time. Yeah, but you just walked away from it. I had to say to you, I admired and respected your courage in that decision. And I was shocked.
And I can tell you right now, after that happened, that only motivated us even more. We're both very competitive. I think without that happening, we would not be halfway where we are right now. That motivated us so
much. Then give him 10% of your profits.
Much, absolutely. We'll never thank him for it.
We
of course not.
Won.
We won.
We won.
Yes.
That crap garbage product.
Got off the market.
Did not do well.
Like 3-4 months later, it had disappeared, right?
Yep. Yeah,
they're on to their next ones doing the same thing
and those,
to other entrepreneurs.
And those retailers who are doing business with him are now doing business with us.
Yes.
Again, if you believe in yourself, stick to what you believe in. It works. Sometimes.
I almost feel like I should end it on that note because it's so motivational and you hear it all the time. But the difference in hearing from you today is you're living it, you're breathing it, you're proving it. If I wanted to be a devil's advocate or be a cynic and try to argue against anything you're saying or feeling or concluding, I'd have to be out of my mind. It's so convincing.
Thank you.
The last thing I want to say, I know you want to end this, but I really want to say this.
No, you
really,
go on as long as you want. Okay. It's so entertaining and so interesting, and every word counts for so much.
This really, this is very important to us. we do want our story to be inspiring. We do want people to know the power of taking action. And it all goes back to our parents. They're not entrepreneurial people. They're retired now, but they're the most encouraging people possible. And our mother, who gets scared to death of anything entrepreneurial. She just wants us to get a 9-to-5 job, a 401k, right. 2 weeks vacation, and, you know, stability. She's scared to death of this stuff. But what she says to us is three words. She says to us over and over again, and you finally believe it, why not you?
Wow.
Why not you? And she says that
over and over to us.
And guess what? Mm-hmm. Mom, why not us? You know, it happened.
And here we are.
She's been saying that to you since you were a kid?
Absolutely.
On any success story, she'll say, hey, why not you?
Why not you? Why can't that be? Why is that? This doesn't have to be somebody else.
Well, you know what she was indirectly doing, too?
Go make it happen.
Not only was she encouraging you, but she was creating a competitive heart. Think about that. If my mother said to me, why not you get A's? I would hate that kid who got an A and have to get an A to beat him. Did you feel that that kind of an upbringing made you more competitive? Because you self-confessed a minute ago, you're super competitive.
I think in hindsight, we are pretty dang competitive.
Yeah. Does that come from that?
It might.
Yeah.
Never thought of it for sure.
That introspectively before. Yeah. But it might.
And also faith in yourself. That's the main message.
Yeah. We have to mention our father as well.
Well, before you go on to your dad, let's stay with your mother a minute. Do you go and tell her this? Do you tell her, Mom, what a difference you made?
If you go to our website and read our story, that's a big part of it. And it is. Like I said, she's someone who is not interested in the entrepreneurship. It scares the hell out of her. And it scares the hell out of her for her boys to be out doing something that where there is risk.
And you had real jobs first.
Yes, we did.
And we had to give those up eventually. And that
what a happy thing to do.
That was tough as well. It was,
there's risk, but there is reward. You know, why not you? It says it all to us.
We don't say it to her enough. We tell you that. I'm sure that's very normal.
I bet you do. Yeah.
The brothers and dad, and we're always talking sports, and she always feels left out and that she's not being listened to. Mom, we heard you loud and clear.
We did. Yeah. And we love you, Mom.
How about your dad?
He has been part of the business since the beginning.
Really?
I mean, he
didn't feel his presence at all in any conversations we had.
Yeah, he's the behind-the-scenes numbers guy, handling all the finances.
And is that his background?
It is. He was a systems analyst. He was retired for 10 years, and then we unretired him.
He's probably loving every bit of it. Or is he not?
He loves it.
You want to pinch pennies, you go hire your dad.
How do you know the old man's not stealing from you?
Yeah. we know this guy. He just wants to see his boys have success.
He must be thrilled every day of the week.
Oh, without a doubt.
As the money comes in, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, that's right.
Does he ever say anything about the millions? I mean, it's not 100,000 in sales. It's millions and millions and millions and more millions. Any comment about that?
I think mom and dad are as blown away as their boys are. Yeah. It doesn't seem real. I mean, it's all happened very fast. It's the American dream.
Want to say anything else?
Like
today?
You say, American dream on steroids.
It is.
Yes, that's what it is.
It's been
a year and a half into this since we launched.
It happened to us. And again, I can't believe it happened to us. We look at each other and say, wow, is this really happening? But then go back to what mom says. Why not you? So why not us? Here we are.
And we're just getting started.
We are.
To that, I say amen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey guys, it's Brian from The Comfy. Thanks for listening to our interview with Barb. We had so much fun. Hey, we'd like to extend a special offer to all you Business Unusual listeners. If you'd like to try The Comfy, the original blanket sweatshirt, go to thecomfy.com and get 15% off by using the code BC15 at checkout. That's thecomfy.com and use the code BC15. Thanks and enjoy The Comfy. We think it's the most comfortable thing you'll ever wear.
And that's all we have time for today. If you have a question, leave me a voicemail on the Business Unusual hotline, 888-BARBARA. That's 888-BARBARA. You can also tweet it to me at Barbara Corcoran, and I may just answer it on a future episode. You've been listening to Business Unusual with me, Barbara Corcoran. Come back next week to hear more steps and missteps I took on the path to success. Search and follow Business Unusual on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.